F1A. Number 9A.
We take now the last vertical, the science vertical, which we have epitomized as the operation of the idea in its principle, which would give us a sense that the idea of God must always work for the glory of God and not for people, not for any ulterior motives. And this is brought out very clearly in those last four prophets. Those last four prophets, like Haggai, Zechariah, then Malachi and Daniel, they all show really how that we have to put the idea of God into operation for the truth itself, so that we seek truth for truth's sake, and that we demonstrate the idea for truth's sake and not for our own sake. This is stated right away in Haggai, who is the first one, signs as a word. On the horizontal, we have that the divine purpose there is defined. And Haggai defines that purpose very, very clearly, to see what we should build in consciousness, what is the purpose of our understanding God. And he says that it must be for God himself. Because in his words, he says, your inward attitude should be so that you build up really the highest sense of God within yourself. That highest sense of God was always symbolized as a temple in the Jewish history. Afterwards, the Christian history have taken over that temple and have made the church of it, and therefore they worship the church and the church building. So Haggai reproaches therefore Israel for not building that temple of the Lord. You must remember the situation of that time. They were in the Babylonian captivity. In the Babylonian captivity, then they were freed when the Persians took over Babylon, and then the king of Persia allowed the Israelites to go back to their homeland and allowed them to establish their religion again and to build the Temple of Jerusalem again. So when the people came back out of the captivity, they began first to build their own sealed houses. They began to build really for themselves their own houses. The sealed houses. It's a nice expression just to bring out that they were very much interested in their own egotistic, materialistic way of life, and they first built up their own material houses. And he said, why do you build the sealed houses when the temple of the Lord lays waste? When the principle of being is not considered, when you are not building for the principle but for your own sake, for your own advantage. And therefore he scolded Israel very much that when they came back that they would do this. You have sown much and bring in little. And this is typical for what we always can see. If we use Christian Science to build up the sealed houses, our own family, our own business, our own, then we work a lot and sweat a lot, but nothing really in a spiritual way comes out of it. We then work a lot and much is being sown, but it brings little. That was the reproach that the prophet Haggai expressing towards Israel. So he said, go and build the temple of the Lord. Go and build it so that the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. That the temple should be more beautiful, more exquisite than the former temple, which in fact never happened. Apparently, the temple that was destroyed when Israel was sent into captivity was much more luxurious, much bigger than the temple they built afterwards. But that is the material outward sign, but the prophets were interested in spiritual building, and so he would show how to build, and he showed why then the temple would be bigger and more beautiful than the former one, because he taught the people that they should build the temple by laying stone upon stone, to build an understanding way, an ordered way, and to proceed in an ordered consciousness. You see, we have to remember Ezekiel was just before teaching in Babylon, really the days of creation, the ordered development of the creative ability, the law of creativity through the 7 days of creation. And when the people came home, Haggai said, go now and build your consciousness, your temple. See, temple was used as a symbol for consciousness and also as a symbol for body. As Jesus said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will build it up, I will raise it up. So he said, go and build a temple by laying stone upon stone. And this reminds us of Isaiah that said, here a little, there a little, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, so that we build up in an orderly way. The mystics, those that believe in God, that have faith in God, they never build up anything in an orderly way. They just believe in something, and that's that. And then they believe in something else, and that's that. So for the first time here, the minor prophets were bringing out that Israel had now to use what Ezekiel has shown, that Ezekiel has shown the calculus of ideas, the order of ideas, the wheels within the wheels, and so was urging Israel to build that kind of consciousness for themselves. So we get here a sense that here science as the word is saying to us, build the word of God, build according to the order of the word order and build it up. We cannot start with the Christ order or Christianity order or science order. If we start, the starting must always be the days of creation that swell up into the numerals of infinity, that then swell up into the word order of the synonymous term. This is the way how the idea has unfolded to John Dolly also, the way as we have gone the way and have built up the temple, first studying the days of creation as a law of creativity, beginning somewhere, then going through the order until we reach the seventh day of perfection. Then at that point we can begin to see that we have touched the numerals of infinity, that the 7 days were only called 7 days, but actually were numerals of infinity. And at that moment when we begin to see that they are not ideas that have a time sense within themselves, a developing sense within themselves, but are of the nature of being and have a beingness within themselves, then naturally one can start calculating with these ideas. And so we come to the calculus of ideas, to the wheels within wheels. This is the way how Ezekiel showed it, how it has come to John Dorley, how it has come to us. It's the way how we were teaching it in the syllabus classes and shown that same way through those 7 years of the syllabus class. That was what Haggai also was teaching, and said, if you really go along that way, then you build a consciousness that is more beautiful than the former one. The former one that the Israelites had were not a scientific temple. It was more a temple of Mosaic laws, of Mosaic commandments, thou shalt not. And because they did not believe the prophets that came after Mosaic law, after the law came the prophets, and did not believe the prophets who were telling them, look here, there is something more about reality than just these laws of thou shalt and thou shalt not, something more than just blunt, ordinary metaphysics. There is something more, and Israel did not believe it, and therefore had to go down into captivity, that therefore the temple they had before captivity was not the temple of the ideas of God, but the temple of the law and without the prophets. So now, today, we can see that we go through a similar evolution, so to say, that we begin to see that if we build properly in the 6,000 year, which leads us into the 7,000 year, if we really build today the consciousness of the capitalized terms, so that the capitalized terms become to us tonality, which are really the redundancy principle for all being, so that we always work with the redundant aspect of being, with an overflowing aspect of being, then we make that new transition, and the new temple which we are building, or the new consciousness, will be bigger and more grand, more grander than the former temple, than the former consciousness we had. Yes, that's what Haggai was trying to show. It is a very simple statement, and one can see why this has the tone of science as the word, where we have science, the operation of the idea in its principle, where we should work for the temple of God and not for our sealed houses. Then as the word, the divine purpose defined, it defines that everything that should be geared towards knowing the divine principle. So Haggai was showing that we should build the temple. But the question then comes up, which says, but how does the temple look like? What is the structure of that temple? Not only to lay stone upon stone, there also must be a master plan there that says how to lay stone upon stone, so that what comes out of it is not just a wall, or is not just a rampart, but that it is really a structure. Did you say a rampart? Yeah, rampart, yeah. But that it is a real structure, a real temple. Therefore, Zechariah comes in, and Zechariah seems to have been a disciple of Ezekiel, also a young prophet who was being taught by Ezekiel in the Babylonian captivity. He came back. Ezekiel didn't come back. Zechariah came back and was witnessing how the temple was being built. And he was a young scientist, and it's interesting that young thought is usually much more transparent for a paradigm shift than thought that has already got into the old ruts, so that Zechariah began to see the structure of that consciousness. And he showed the structure of that consciousness as containing the four and the seven. So he was, again, that one that for the first time was showing really the consistency of the seven and the four as working together in one frame of reference, in one system. You know that Zechariah was presenting his vision, which he saw, it was a vision, his prophecy which he saw, in four parts. The first part was the Word, where he had seven visions. And those seven visions were indicating the Word order. So he began with the Word order and said, this is the foundation for the temple. Then he showed in the second part the Christ order, the Christ translation. So he's the very first one of the minor prophets that was depicting all the orders, not only always the Word order, and showed the Christ order and showed that the ideal man, oh yes, I must say, with the Word order, he is depicting what is the true idea man through the seven synonymous term. Then in the Christ order, he showed how that ideal man translates itself through the Christ order to the point of individual man, to the ideal individual man. And so gave the Christ order. Then the third part is showing the Christianity order, not only Christianity, but the Christianity order, in which he showed that the ideal man as individual idea is always vested with the whole of principle. That it is not an isolated idea, but an idea that the idea man is vested, I think I can say that so, with the divine principle. If I want to bring it out in different terms, I would say that he shows there that man as idea is as big as the infinite one. That qualitatively he's as big as the infinite one. So that we can see the idea man is the idea of power, and that power is the power of the infinite one. That it has the substance of spirit, and that substance is therefore the substance of the infinite one. Just always showing that an idea is always vested with the whole synonymous term, and it's not just an isolated aspect, a part of the whole. So that we can see the idea and the identity and the sinlessness of man is really the sinlessness of the infinite one, of soul. So that we see not we have to make ourselves sinless, but we are sinless because we see we are an idea of soul, and that soul is infinite. So we begin to see as an idea of principle, we are as big as the whole interpretation of principle. That's why, therefore, we can interpret the divine principle, or we wouldn't be able to interpret it. Or that our life, small l, is the life of the infinite one, of the infinite life, capital L. That we have no life of our own. That what we call our life is the life that is God, of the infinite one. So that our life is the life of the capital L life. If you can get that, what I want to say. And so he shows through all the seven synonymous terms that man is qualitatively as big as truth and as love. As big as all the synonymous terms, qualitatively. A beautiful description, really, of the bigness of the idea man. No one before in the prophets has shown that. And you can suddenly see that here we find the prophet that is interested in the science of the divine principle. That is Christianity sense. Then he goes to a fourth part, and that fourth part is science, and he shows that science as a candlestick order in showing actually in that science part that the divine infinite calculus is the method of salvation. That if we use that divine infinite calculus, the 7 and the 4, that this is the way of salvation, up to the point where he begins to show that every little detail in the whole of Israel is holiness unto God. That is said, every pot in Israel is holiness unto God. That every bell of the horses is holiness unto God. He just tries to find two examples to show every little detail, even the bell of the horses, even a pot in every house, is holiness unto the Lord. As to say, look here, I have put every idea right back into its principle. Isn't that clear? What he wants to bring out. See, that the whole message is showing that what Ezekiel has found out in towards the end of the Babylonian captivity, as the wheels within the wheels, the calculus of ideas, and how we can learn the calculus of ideas step by step, how we can afterwards calculate every detail in it, that now Zechariah comes, his disciple comes and says, I take that vision from Ezekiel and show to Israel, back in Israel, how to operate those ideas. How that every idea should operate within its principle, and for its principle, and for the glory of principle, until every little bell of the horses is holiness unto the Lord. A terrific picture. What does he show as we are here, signs as the Christ? What does he show? The Christ, we have said, is showing the enforcement of the retranslation of two-ness into oneness. That's our index in B, in the Christ, in the horizontal. Well, he is showing that and shows, you see, the whole mortal mentality, that which makes up a mortal's thinking, that must be translated right back, that man is thinking in a divine infinite calculus, and no more in a human calculus. You know, you may perhaps say, do we have a human calculus? Yes. All what we practically do from morning to night is a human calculus. We calculate constantly. We say, if I do this, then this and this will happen. If I say to the other one so and so, then he will react so and so. We calculate constantly. We calculate how, if we are nice to somebody, how that will help us to have better relationship with the third person, and that third person then will be able to help us. And so the circle goes all around. These are wheels within wheels in the human calculus. We calculate constantly. If I do this, then this will happen. And so Zechariah comes and says, look here, this is a human calculus. And this has no Christ because it's human. And therefore, I must show you the divine infinite calculus, where only ideas are implied, and only ideas are working. And if ideas are working, they are always ideas of the Infinite One. And if they are ideas of the Infinite One, you can be quite sure that everything will be holiness unto the Lord. That everything is working out fine, just fine. The New Yorkers would say, fine, just fine. Yes, I like that. Gives really a sense
that is broad and wide.
Yeah.
So this is what Zechariah tells us. Actually, when one reads it, it's very concentrated picture. Practically every verse is a concentrated symbol of a capitalized term. You see, in the few chapters he has to show the whole word order. That alone is seven, the Christ order with seven, the Christianity order with seven, and the science order with seven. So it's a very broad picture, concentrated, but everything is just pinpointed to see that we are working with grace. He has that wonderful sense of the olive trees that is fed by the oil and that works by itself, that it is a self-organizing cybernetic system that feeds itself back constantly, and so it gives the sense that we don't have it through might and through power, but by grace. And these things are in Zechariah over and over. Yes, or also we could see that, for instance, he depicts under the Christ aspect, naturally, the signs as the Christ. In the textbook, under signs as the Christ, you have something similar, namely the chapter on recapitulation. And the chapter on recapitulation is that chapter that, so to say, falls out of place or falls out of the picture, because it is a chapter that is not set up through the seven, but is set up through the four, including here and there the seven. So you know that the chapter on recapitulation puts the accent on the four and shows four times four fundamental question and answers them from a divine standpoint, from an absolute standpoint, and from a relative standpoint, making 4 times 4, 16, in two aspects, 32, that's recapitulation. It's exactly the same place as here, that in the matrix of the prophet, Zechariah is at that point where he shows the four, or the accent on the four, and not on the seven. Four is naturally the Christ calculus. Yes.